greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Blessing to be here, the house of God this morning. I invite you to turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 17, our text verse of the message. It's a very familiar verse. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I've titled the message this morning, Procrastination. Just one word as we look at this verse, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, or in other words, puts it off, procrastinate, to him it is sin. So I was thinking of what was shared in the devotions this morning, of, you know, a preacher standing before a congregation. We know that when Jesus talked to the congregation, he was perfect, he was sinless, but you know, I'm not that way. I'm human. I make mistakes. And when I look at myself, you know, I see a man that is sinful, in need of the blood of Jesus, without justification from the blood of Jesus. You know, I'm not worthy. It is just because of what Jesus has done on the cross that we can be justified. We can be freed from blame and guilt. And I trust as we abide in Christ that we will not continue in procrastination, but as that we will grow in holiness and sanctification to become more like Jesus Christ. You know, and there's going to be times in our Christian life that we know to do good and we don't do it. We put it off. We procrastinate. And it becomes sin to us. And the Spirit of God convicts us and we repent of that. And we are forgiven. We are justified. And it is through all that that God continues working in our lives, that we are sanctified, and we become more like him. Definition of procrastination is putting off from day to day, to delay, to defer to a future time. The practice of carrying out less urgent tasks in preference to more urgent ones, or doing more pleasurable things in the place of less pleasurable ones, and thus putting off impending tasks to a later time, sometimes to the last minute before the deadline. Or in some cases, maybe never getting the task done. The act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. As we look at procrastination, what are some causes of procrastination? You know, thinking of being in a restaurant and you're given a menu when you sit down, the waiter comes back, you know, 5 minutes later, and ask, are you ready to place your order? And you say, no. You know, or he asks, do you need a few more minutes? And you say, yes. Indecision, not being able to make a decision. Another cause for procrastination would be perfectionism, waiting till the time is right. Proverb or Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So you wait for the wind to be just right, or till the clouds are just right. Chances are you won't get your crop out. Waiting till everything is just right, chances are you'll never get it done, because it will never seem just right. And that can go into, you know, our work or spiritual things that we do, decisions that we make. Another one is fear. Proverbs says in 29:25, the first part of the verse, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, how many of you have been to a dentist with a toothache? You know, experienced the sometimes pain, the unpleasantness of going to a dentist. So you have a toothache and you procrastinate going to the dentist because of your fear of going to the dentist. You just don't like that. You don't want that pain. Well, the alternative is the tooth decays more and more and the pain in your mouth becomes worse and worse. And eventually it could mean, you know, instead of having a filling, you might need a root canal or an implant or maybe eventually false teeth if you keep on in that way. Or needing surgery. You know, for years I had the problems with chronic tonsillitis, of having infection in my tonsils, and You know, I thought, well, I should get them taken out, but I really dreaded it. You know, thinking of, and the more I thought about it, the worse it seemed. But eventually I got enough courage up and got it checked out and had an appointment made and had the surgery done. And yeah, it was bad, but you know, that was about 5 years ago. And I look back and, you know, it doesn't seem that bad, big deal, you know, and the benefits of having done it, I think far outweigh the unpleasantness of procrastinating and waiting. And oftentimes that's the way it is in life. And we could apply that spiritually, you know, in fear. You know, maybe there's an area in my life that I struggle with and I seemingly can't get victory over that area. I just have defeat again and again and again. But because I'm afraid, I won't share that with someone, but just keep on procrastinating and keep on living in defeat instead of sharing it with someone and getting help for my problem and having victory. And in the indecision, we think about making decisions in life, there could be a combination, procrastination, of indecision and fear. The fear of, if I make a decision, you know, it's like sticking my neck out and I'm afraid somebody will chop my head off. So, you know, I don't make a decision because I'm afraid of what people are going to say about it when I do make a decision. I'm afraid of being ridiculed. I'm afraid of being laughed at. Afraid of what people think when I make a decision. You know, and sometimes the perfectionism is just an excuse for not doing something that we are afraid of doing. You know, I'm afraid of doing something, so I make the excuse that, well, the time just doesn't seem right, or it just didn't feel right. Well, a lot of times the spirit of fear makes so things don't feel right. Versus, as we discussed in our Sunday school lesson about the lion, and the righteous are bold as a lion, the Bible says, when we have the righteousness, when we are not controlled by the spirit of fear, but by the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind, it will help us to overcome fear and to move forward in faith and in boldness, and not procrastinate. Another area that could cause procrastination is self-will. When parents ask the children to clean their room or to do some chore, and they procrastinate, you know, don't want to do it, they put it off. And maybe eventually, after several, you know, talking to's or asking to have to be, you know, to get busy, they start doing it, but they do it ever so slowly. Just little by little. You know, it could be the will within the child that is resisting the control of the parent. The self-will that is standing up on the inside and saying, you know, I don't like for you to tell me what to do. You know, we see that in our children and we dislike that. And, you know, maybe sometimes in the church we do the same thing, where we resist the control of the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God speaks through church, the church family. Another area would be laziness. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know, we all like things that are easy. You know, you don't see books in the bookstore proclaiming titles about how hard it is to change your life. You know, you got 15 difficult things that you need to do to change your life, or 15 difficult things you need to do to lose weight, to get in shape. You know, that kind of title probably wouldn't sell. The books portray on the cover, it portrays the idea that it's easy. You know, 10 easy steps to change your life. 10 easy steps to lose weight or to get in shape. Well, when you get the book, you'll probably find out it's harder than the cover actually made it out to be. But the title has to make it sound easy, or we wouldn't buy it, because because we like things that are easy. Yeah, we desire it. The sluggard desires it, but he doesn't have anything because he procrastinates, he puts it off. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat, the one that takes action and he does it. So what are some areas that we might procrastinate in? Have you ever heard of anyone procrastinating to eat ice cream? Something you really like, your favorite food, and you just put it off. You know, the icing on a cake. Well, you know, as young children, you probably eat the icing first. Well, I've developed a habit of laying my cake on the side and cutting the icing off and eating the cake and saving the icing for last because I like it the best. So in a sense, yeah, procrastinating eating the icing. Or what about you boys enjoy swimming? Would you procrastinate going swimming? You know, we usually don't have a problem with procrastination, something we enjoy doing, something we like to do. You young boys, if you had the opportunity to test drive a new truck or sports car, would you procrastinate the opportunity being given to you? Or if dad came home with a new four-wheeler, I mean, you'd be wanting to be the first one to run that, to take a test drive on that. But what about when mom and dad says you need to do your chores? You know, I think back to my life, and there's a time when I procrastinated, and, you know, it's embarrassing to me. It's not something I like to talk about, but there was this one morning when I was, I'm not sure what grade I was in school. I was probably first to third grade, and my chores were to feed the rabbits every morning. And for some reason, I got it in my stubborn head that I wasn't going to feed the rabbits that morning. Well, I was told in no uncertain terms that if I don't feed the rabbits, I can't go to school. Well, that's exactly what happened. I didn't feed the rabbits, and I didn't go to school. But, I mean, I did feed the rabbits after the rest of the children had gone to school. The next day when I came to school, it was an embarrassment to me when my classmates, my friends asked me, you know, why weren't you here yesterday? And I think some of them had gotten the story of me not feeding the rabbits, and there was some teasing that went along with that. So I endured a lot more unpleasantness by not feeding the rabbits, by procrastinating, than I would have if I would have just gotten to work and done it. You know, and as I think of that, of the stubbornness, you know, that is something I have had to deal with in my life. And, you know, possibly my parents shouldn't have procrastinated in applying the rod to the seat of the pants in that situation. Maybe some of that stubbornness could have been avoided, some of that stubborn will broken. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. If you have a field and you don't get the field ready and you don't plant it, you just procrastinate it because you say it's too cold and then later you're going to say it's too hot, can you expect that you'll have a harvest when it's time to harvest? Well, absolutely not. Procrastination, putting it off and not getting it done, does not bring the results that you want to see in your life. Whether it's doing your chores or, you know, whatever else that it may be. Here recently, there was a section of a garden that I kind of see after, take care of, and I procrastinated weeding that section of a garden for a while. It was too wet. And then it was too hot. You know, there was always a reason. But here the other evening I got out and I weeded that section of the garden. There was some grass in there that, you know, had been just little clumps. But I pulled out some clumps of grass. I'd say they were at least 18 inches around. And, you know, there was a lot of root. You know, and getting that out was quite a chore. But it was due to my procrastination. You know, had I done it earlier, maybe I would have had to have done it again sooner, but it would have been a lot easier. The Bible says that by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. I had to think of a roof that is leaking. Every time it rains, you've got water coming in, dripping out of the ceiling, and you set bucket, pan, or whatever to catch it, and it quits raining. The problem goes away. The ceiling is stained. The rafters got wet up above, and we're too lazy to fix it. We procrastinate. We don't go fix the roof. We just take care of the symptoms, but we don't fix the problem. As that verse says in Ecclesiastes, the building is going to decay. The rafters are going to rot out. And I had to think of a situation in the teacher trailer here some time ago when I was asked to go check out the faucet in the kitchen. When I got there and I pulled out the panel, here there was a valve behind the panel that was just a steady drip, drip, drip of water. And the floor was all soaked underneath the cabinet there. And in front of the sink, Hannah said that the floor was soft. And yeah, it was. I don't know how long that thing had been dripping. But, you know, given time, that floor would have dropped through, just like that verse says. Now, that wasn't necessarily procrastination because we didn't know it was leaking. But if you have a leak in your house and you know it and you don't do something about it, the house is going to drop through. Now, we have floors today that are a lot more substantial. You know, used to be when we used particle board, it didn't take much to make that floor drop through. It's about like a graham cracker. When you wet it, it becomes soggy and soft, and you just go right through. But now with, you know, better technology, we have floors that will resist a lot more water. And I had to think of Brother Simon here the other evening. He was saying how his ice maker had leaked, and the water ran out of the fridge and ran across the floor and down a register into his basement. Well, Simon didn't just let it go. He stopped the leak. What he did, what he had to do to make that water quit running, because he cared about his house. You know, we could look at areas, other areas we might procrastinate in, and things like, you know, eating more healthy, doing our Sunday school lesson when it's time, getting ready for Sunday school, homework, you know, once school starts again. Us brethren, you know, maybe studying for devotions or a topic or this message, you know. The Spirit of God is faithful when, you know, we're called on the spur of a moment to have a devotional, a topic, or a message. But when we have ample time, we know our turn is coming for, you know, a month or weeks or whatever, and we procrastinate, we put it off, and we wait until the last minute, and we cram to try to study and get ready for that talk that we're supposed to give. You know, there's no blessing in that because we procrastinated. We could talk about losing weight, about exercising regularly. You know, things that take effort. Things that are not pleasant. Overcoming bad habits in our lives. Spiritual habits that are bad. Salvation, another area we can procrastinate in. I remember so well Dave Peachey, I think it is his name, from Belleville, preached a message here one time and titled the message "One More Day of Frogs." And he was talking about the situation in Egypt where the Egyptians, you know, had all these frogs in their houses, and Moses asked Pharaoh, you know, "When do you want me to entreat God and ask God to take away the frogs?" And Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." You know, he procrastinated, and I can't see that. You know, why not? I'd want the frogs out of here right now. You know, I don't want to sleep with the frogs another night. I don't want another day of frogs. But we look at salvation and we do those same things. You know, Felix did that. When Paul reasoned with him of temperance and righteousness and of judgment to come, it says that Felix trembled that the Spirit of God, I believe, was speaking to Felix, and the Spirit of God was convicting Felix. But Felix said that Paul should leave. He said, and when I have a more convenient season, you know, he procrastinated. He said, I will call for you later, instead of listening to the Spirit of God. And you know, when we look at procrastination, I believe salvation is possibly the most dangerous form of procrastination that there is. You know, when we look at a house that decays and falls down, you know, you can rebuild the house. But when you look at salvation and you look at putting your spiritual life on the line, you know, that is eternity to pay. Hell, in eternity in hell is the consequence for procrastination, and when you procrastinate with your salvation. You know, I don't think there's any one of you here that if you had a propane gas leak in your house and your basement was full of propane and you knew that your basement was full of propane, that would procrastinate turning off that valve and shutting off that gas leak and airing out the house. Because, you know, it's not a matter of whether or not there's going to be a spark to ignite that, but it's a matter of, you know, when. It's not a matter of if, but of when. And the same way with our salvation, when we look at that, it's not a matter of if we're going to die or if Jesus is going to come back, but it's a matter of when. And we have no promise of tomorrow. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is coming back soon, but it could be today. It could be tonight. And then as we look at our conscience, you know, of being born again, of being a Christian, and we have something that we have failed in and something we have sinned in, and maybe we have wronged somebody, and we procrastinate making that wrong right. You know, fear or pride could keep us from doing that. And maybe sometimes we'd have a sensitive conscience, and we don't know, is this real guilt or false guilt? And we procrastinate. You know, where we should be talking to somebody, seeking counsel. You know, is this, share my story, is this false guilt or real guilt? What should I do about this? Another area we could procrastinate in would be establishing good relationships or rebuilding torn down relationships. Forgiveness. You know, carrying that chip on the shoulder one more day. That grudge, getting victory over immorality, whether it's in actions or in thoughts. You know, and as we think of these things, none of these things get easier if we procrastinate, if we put it off. It just gets harder, just like the grass clump. You know, it might have been an inch in diameter when I should have weeded that garden, but when I waited, it was 18 inches, and that's the way sin works. You know, sin only gets bigger. We just get more hurt. We just get more scar. We just get to where we reap more of what we've sowed. The longer you wait, the worse it gets. So how do we overcome procrastination? We heard last Sunday, the verse in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." We heard in the devotions this morning about walking in Jesus' shadow. You know, Jesus Christ was not a procrastinator. He is not a procrastinator. First of all, if you're not born again, make a decision to heed the drawing of the Spirit. You know, don't do like Felix did and put off, procrastinate the drawing of the Spirit of God and put off that yielding to the Spirit of God. But give yourself, surrender yourself to the Spirit of God, and then walk in the Spirit. Anything He asks you to do, do it. Do it without delay. You know, you might be able to improve some areas in your life by putting forth more effort, by putting in more effort. You know, you might be able to improve that procrastination on your own in some areas, but if you have the aid of the Holy Spirit, it makes it so much easier. It gives you power, and you find that you have joy instead of misery. If you are a born-again Christian, but you have drifted away, and you have lost that close relationship, or you have left, I should say, that close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you once had, repent of your lukewarmness and recommit your life to wholly follow the Lord and be obedient to the Holy Spirit in going forward. You know, that may mean a change in how you spend your free time. It may mean a difference in the books you read or the things that you do. It may mean a more of a giving of yourself for others. But you know, when we work on our want to, we find the joy, the purpose of life that we've been looking for. You know, whatever your situation is that you find yourself in, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, to take action, don't procrastinate, but do it now. Now, I believe that procrastination is one of Satan's most effectively used tools. You know, he'll come alongside of you and say, "Yes, I know you should do this or that or the other thing, but I'll take one more day of frogs. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later, but not now. It's not convenient. It's too cold. It's too hot. I'm afraid. I'm scared. You know, the timing isn't right." Just like Simon, he didn't procrastinate with his ice maker because he cared about his house. You know, do you care about your spiritual house? Are you concerned about that? You know, the tendency is for us to not be concerned about a spiritual condition. You know, that's the carnal man, to just ignore that, to just let it go. But ask the Lord to give you a spiritual love and concern for yourself and for others. Thinking of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when the fullness of time was come, then Jesus came. And when it was time, he gave himself on the cross. He didn't procrastinate. You know, how would it be if Jesus would have never come, or if he would have never yielded to a death on the cross, but he would have procrastinated forever? You know, where would we be? We look at that and we see love. And I really believe that the love of God in our hearts is really the key to overcoming procrastination. Because that will give us a healthy love for ourselves, to where we can love God with everything we have and we can love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is what it really boils down to. So many times procrastination is done because I'm looking out for myself. And I don't have the concern. I don't have a love for God like I should have. And I don't have the concern and the love for you like I should have. But that is, I believe, where God wants us to come, to be more like Jesus Christ, to have that love within us. Let's kneel for prayer.